You may be seated this morning. And I'd invite the readers to come up and take their places. This morning's reading from the scripture needs very little introduction. You know what you came to hear. Allow me to simply remind you of the themes that we have been studying in the Gospel of Matthew: righteousness and discipleship. Following Jesus is not about what we think, but about how we live. And resurrection is the final piece of that. The author of the book of Matthew wants his audience to really get how important this moment is. So he packs in all the drama that he can. An earthquake, an angel who rolls away the stone, big, burly military men fainting in fear, an angelic invitation to fear not, and a proclamation of the significance of Jesus just like we had at his birth. And to prove that the message of the gospel is for all and that it will turn the world upside down, the good news is given to the first women preachers. And it doesn't matter that their testimony wouldn't be accepted in a court, because the resurrection is not something we prove. It's something we trust. And the best way to spread the good news is through our relationships with one another. When we tell our own story, when we speak our own truth, anyone can preach. So let us listen now in the reading of Scripture for the word and the wisdom of God.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women,
"Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you."
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them, saying,
"Greetings."
They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them,
"Do not be afraid. Go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
This is the word of God for all people.
Thanks be to God.
You guys can be seated. There are two great powers in the world: the power of life and the power of death. I don't mean simply breathing and not breathing. It's much bigger than that. When I say the power of life, I would like for you to think about all that animates us and gives our lives meaning and purpose. The power of life includes creativity and generosity and humor and love. The power of life was spoken into the universe by the source of creation at the moment of our Genesis. The power of life is at work in our best human impulses, our desire to give and to serve and to belong. And as Christians, of course, we root the power of life in the God who was revealed to us in Jesus Christ. In contrast to all of that is the power of death. There is more to death than not being alive. When I say the power of death, I would like for you to think about all that stands in contrast to life. The power of death is easy to recognize. It's all around us. Addictions are part of the power of death. Racism and sexism and homophobia are part of the power of death. Greed, fear, violence, and even the subtle desire to distance ourselves from people that we classify as not like us. This is the power of death in the world. The power of death stands at odds to the power of life. And what we celebrate this morning is that in the resurrection, the power of life made flesh in Jesus Christ defeated the power of death. One of the beautiful things about Christianity is that we don't all have to have the same understandings of Jesus in order to be saved by Jesus. So this morning, whether or not you cognitively believe that that resurrection happened, I invite you to trust that resurrection happens. Trust this morning that life gets the last word. The resurrection, Jesus defeating the power of death, is the foundation for our Christian hope. Without the resurrection, we could very easily give in to the temptation to trust what we see. And what we see is that the power of death seems to be scoring a lot of points in the game. And that scares us. One way to deal with the death that we see around us is to try to ignore it. To convince ourselves that our way of thinking is the right way and everyone who doesn't agree with us is stupid. To work incessantly to try to build a wall of security around our families. To buy more stuff to numb the nagging suspicion that we can never buy enough stuff. To pin our hopes on what other people think of us. To assume that those in need around us somehow deserve their plight. To ignore anything that seems unpleasant or doesn't fit in our reality. Of course, that only works until the power of death makes itself felt in our lives, or worse yet, in the life of someone that we love. A self-centered life that seeks to avoid or ignore the power of death just does not work. The radical, surprising good news of the gospel is that in order to find lasting joy, we have to face the power of death head on. And not just face it, but fight it. This is the only real option. This is what we see in the life of Jesus. With all the power of the divine at his disposal, he did not seek an easy life for himself. Jesus waded right into the middle of the suffering, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, speaking truth to power, refusing to participate in the cycle of violence, touching the people that everyone else had shoved aside, patiently teaching his rather blockheaded followers. Jesus is the model for what the Bible describes as a righteous life, which is a life lived in line with the power of life. Around here, we call it doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. Amen. What we know from the stories of the life of Jesus is that a righteous life is not an easy life. A righteous life is an abundant life. Paradoxically, friends, doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God will bring us much more joy than a self-centered life will. It is deeply meaningful. And sometimes it's exhausting. It's a life of vulnerability, of being willing to let your heart be moved by the suffering of the world. Doing justice will be inconvenient for us. And we cannot love mercy keeping people at a distance. Walking humbly with God means being willing to change. The United Church of Christ's statement of faith says that God calls us to accept the joy and the cost of discipleship. And that is why resurrection matters. If we are going to tackle the suffering of the world, we can only have the stamina to do that if we are confident that the power of death has already been defeated. The justice we do, the mercy that we extend, is part of undoing the effects of the power of death in the world. It has been defeated, but there's still a lot of knots to untie. The loving actions we take, they matter deeply. They are fueled by the power of life. The resurrection energizes us. And so what we celebrate today is not simply that Jesus came back to life so we can go to heaven when we die. What we celebrate today is the victory of the power of life over the power of death. The power of death, which is active in all of the world's sufferings and seeks to extinguish our lights and seems so strong to us. The power of death is nothing when faced with the power of life. The grip of death on our lives was broken as God forced open the fist of evil. All that evil seeks to do, God has already undone. In Christ and with Christ, we live in the power of life when we follow the pattern that Jesus set for us. We are resurrection people. We are resurrection people.
We are resurrection people.
We are resurrection people. Which is what we celebrate when we come to this table this morning. This table, which is big enough for the whole world and has many meanings to us. One thing we say as we gather around this table is that we remember the Lord's death. And today, of all days, we might want to omit that part. But I think we shouldn't. If we don't remember his death, then we don't remember that the power of death did as much as it could to Jesus. We won't feel the impact of the resurrection. And so, beloved ones, let us meet Christ again here at this glorious table, because as our ancestors in the faith have proclaimed for hundreds of years, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People of all ages, of all genders, of all races, people with every type of body, come from the north and the south and the east and the west, and we gather here about Christ's table.